down there, Mr. Pounder?" Mrs. Plinge knelt down carefully to scrape away a spot of paint. Mr. Pounder picked up his sack and continued on his way. "Could be gold, Mrs. Plinge. Oh, could very well be gold." It took a moment for Mrs. Plinge to coax her arthritic knees into letting her stand up and shuffle around. "Pardon, Mr. Pounder," she said. Somewhere in the distance there was a soft thump as a bundle of sandbags landed gently on the boards. The stage was big and bare and empty, except for a sack which was scuttling determinedly for freedom. Mrs. Plinge looked both ways very carefully. "Mr. Pounder, are you there?" It suddenly seemed to her that the stage was even bigger and even more distinctly empty than before. "Mr. Pounder! Cooey!" She craned around. "Hello, Mr. Pounder!" Something floated down from above and landed beside her. It was a grubby black hat with candle ends around the brim. She looked up. "Mr. Pounder?" she said. Mr. Pounder was used to darkness. It held no fears for him, and he'd always prided himself on his night vision. If there was any light at all, any speck, any glimmer of phosphorescent rot, he could make use of it. His candled hat was as much for show as anything else. His candled hat. He'd thought he'd lost it, but it was strange. Here it was, still on his head. Yes, indeed. He rubbed his throat thoughtfully. There was something important he couldn't quite remember. It was very dark.
"Squeak!"
He looked up. Standing in the air at eye level was a robed figure about 6 inches high. A bony nose with bent grey whiskers protruded from the hood. Tiny skeletal fingers gripped a very small scythe. Mr. Pounder nodded thoughtfully to himself. You didn't rise to membership of the inner circle of the Guild of Rat Catchers without hearing a few whispered rumours. Rats had their own death, they said, as well as their own kings, parliaments and nations. No human had ever seen it, though. Up until now, he felt honoured. He'd won the golden mallet for most rats caught every year for the past 5 years, but he respected them, as a soldier might respect a cunning and valiant enemy.
I'm dead, aren't I? Squeak.
Mr. Pounder felt that many eyes were watching him, many small, shining eyes.
And what happens now? Squeak.
The soul of Mr. Pounder looked at his hands. They seemed to be elongating and getting hairier. He could feel his ears growing and a certain rather embarrassing elongation happening at the base of his spine. He'd spent most of his life in a single-minded activity in dark places, yet even so...
"But I don't believe in reincarnation," he protested. "Squeak!"
And this, Mr. Pounder understood with absolute rodent clarity, meant reincarnation believes in you. Mr. Bucket went through his mail very carefully and finally breathed out when the pile failed to disgorge another letter with the Opera House crest. He sat back and pulled open his desk drawer for a pen. There was an envelope there. He stared at it and then slowly picked up his paper knife. Slit, a rustle.
"I will be obliged if Christine sings the role of Iodine in La Traviata tonight. The weather continues fine. I trust you are well. Yours, the Opera Ghost."
"Mr. Salzella! Mr. Salzella!"
Bucket pushed back his chair and hurried to the door, opening it just in time to confront a ballerina who screamed at him. Since his nerves were already strained, he responded by screaming back at her. This seemed to have the effect that usually a wet flannel or a slap was necessary to achieve. She stopped and gave him an affronted look.
"He's struck again, hasn't he?" moaned Bucket.
"He's here! It's the ghost!"
said the girl, determined to get the line out even though it was not required.
"Yes, yes, I think I know," muttered Bucket. "I just hope it wasn't anybody expensive."
He stopped halfway along the corridor and then spun round. The girl cringed away from his wavering finger.
"At least stand on tiptoe," he shouted. "You probably cost me a dollar just running up here."
There was a crowd and a huddle on the stage. In the centre was that new girl, the fat one, kneeling down and comforting an old woman. Bucket vaguely recognised the latter. She was one of the staff that had come with the opera house, as much part of the whole thing as the rats or the gargoyles that infested the rooftop.